You're listening to the League of Ordinary Gentlemen podcast with your hosts, Brent and Angelo. This is episode number 109 of your favorite podcast and mine, Contenders Roundtable. Angelo, how are you this week?
I'm doing good. We're shooting this in prime time. I'm pretty excited. We've never done an evening recording before, and I'm feeling energized. How about you?
Yeah, we're kind of really switching it up actually this week. Yeah, here it is. It's at the it's not the weekend. We're just cruising into the weekend, and what a perfect way of doing so by shooting an evening, like as you said, prime time episode. And what an episode do we have in store this week. This is unreal. I don't think we've ever done anything like this before. It's a crazy time in the pool right now. So what better way to celebrate some craziness by adding some more chaos with our main topic?
Yeah, and we chose Friday night because we want to shoot this before the big games this week, because had we waited until Sunday, potentially the pool would be decided. And yeah. Our theme today is the Contenders Roundtable. So we're actually going to have your regular hosts, you and I, and then we're shortly going to be joined by Robin, Nick, and Mike as well for a little discussion as we head into the last 6 days of the league. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, right? And as I said, we've never done this before. Having all these managers on the show, I'm sure some shenanigans will come out. Looking at recent events within the pool, it should be a good time for sure, and I'm sure we'll be revisiting key moments over the year that has been this past season, so with these managers for sure. But before we start with that main topic, obviously we've got to touch on some NHL news, some league news, who's hot, who is not, love that segment, and of course the tried and true, and winners and losers. So let's start with some NHL news. You know what? You know this. It seems like every week of some level, there's some drama that's coming out of Arizona. There is some rumor that they're staying. Or they're leaving. But this week brought something different, didn't it?
Yes, and it seems to be getting really not on the sale front. So not the people who are going to be billionaires from this, but. Down in the player and employee front, it's getting pretty nasty. So it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the Coyotes are leaving after this year and heading over to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
When right now it's sounds like they're in deep into negotiations. So they will make the move over to Salt Lake City, but it doesn't sound like that's the end of the Coyotes. At very least, they will be a expansion franchise in waiting once they finally get their arena sorted out. Listening to Elliot Friedman today, he actually floated the idea of the franchise essentially relocating, but really the franchise itself being put on pause. So it wouldn't be considered an expansion team.
Yeah.
Even though they would follow expansion rules, it would just be the team is put on pause until we can get the arena. Yeah. And then it'll be put back. So really interesting dynamics. It moved very quickly, but from what I've been reading and what I've been hearing, it's almost like, the owner and, the management of the Coyotes are complete and utter scammers. I don't know if you've read any of this.
Yeah, but
that they pulled the wool over everyone's eyes on this and saying, we're going to build this new arena. We're going to win this auction. The Coyotes are here to stay. But meanwhile, behind the scenes, they're trying to sell the team.
Yeah, it doesn't really nothing out of this whole story. And this has been going on for a long time, right? Like this is not just this year.
For a decade.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me in any way. And even the idea of just pressing pause, moving the team over, to Salt Lake, more stable market, an arena's there, it's all set up, right? Moving them there, you know, pressing pause and then, you know, then pressing reset down the road for the Coyotes. That makes zero sense to me, right? Like it's either a market, a viable market, or it's not. You know, I'm not, you know, remotely a business person or, you know, and have like very little business acumen, but I think I know that at the very least that this doesn't smell right. And it hasn't for a long time. And I don't understand the NHL's love affair with this market at all. So when I take a look at, you know, the possibility of moving, I'm like, it's just going to be something better, I think, for the team. Can you just imagine being a professional hockey player in that, on that franchise, playing in a college arena that, what is it, seat 5,000?
Yeah, 4,500.
Yeah. Like, and it's just, and your logo is beside, on the ice is beside, you know, the logo of the university as well. Like it's, you know, it does not smell of any way of a professional sports team or market. I don't know. That's my two cents on this. And it's just for the NHL to even entertain the possibility of this continuing in some form or another, I think it's just, as you kind of noted, it's just shows where that the leadership mentality is, and perhaps, you know, there's other questions that need to be asked on who else are the scammers, maybe. I don't know.
Well, they're in love with this new prospective owner in Utah. So, and they don't really have a hockey ready arena. So they're going to go to, I think it used to be called the Delta Center. I don't know if it still is, yeah, where the Jazz play, but that's not a hockey friendly arena. The sight lines, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I like, do you remember when the Islanders played where the Brooklyn Nets play?
Oh yeah, it was horrible.
Barclay Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's same thing. Like the setup for, if you build a basketball specific facility, yeah, the seats don't align. Some of the seats, actually the angles of the seats face away from the play. So it's not an ideal arena, but they have the Olympics coming and they are building a new arena. And this guy, by all accounts, is an incredible owner. They've sold out several years in a row for the Jazz. He's a big community guy. So, I mean, good for them. I think Utah, Salt Lake City is a great market.
They will build
a really interesting one.
They will build an arena 10 times faster than the Coyotes ownership will build an arena, right? And I think that's I think it just simply comes down to that. Like, you know, I don't know if obviously there's lots of fans in Arizona. They don't go to the game, but there's lots of fans there that, you know, would be sad to see that, you know, and I'm not trying to dump on them because it's definitely not their fault. But I think the NHL just needs to wise up and make a decision on this and just, you know, put a fork in this story and move on. But,
well, I also think we'll move on to something else in just a moment, but I also think, you know, the blueprint for expansion of the NHL is now well set, and we know the philosophy of the NHL, and it's not Quebec City, that's for sure. You know, the blueprint is so Salt Lake, they've talked about Atlanta,
Austin, or Houston, or something.
It'll be
like
Houston, because, yeah, it's one of the largest markets in the United States in terms of population and, yeah, television markets, and then back to Phoenix. So it's in the South, it's in the U.S. That's where they're going to be focused, you know, and it's just the way it is. And unfortunately for the people of Quebec, I think that the game has outpriced them. I don't think there's anyone in Quebec who really has the pockets to be able to support how much it costs.
I agree.
You know, their arena, they have a new arena, but even is that arena that was built in, you know, 2018, yep, or whatever, does that even meet NHL standards now? Because even the design of arenas is changing. Like,
well, the interesting, and you're right. Like when that arena was built, and again when they're trying to, you know, almost 10 years ago, right? It's seeming like close to that. They're trying to court the Coyotes away, and by doing all of this, the NHL has changed a lot in that time, right? And I would agree with you. Like, it's just, I don't, you know, it's just not, doesn't seem to be. To be, you know, Quebec City doesn't seem to be that market, but, you know, where the Coyotes are right now, that's clearly not a market either. So I think it's just, you know, it's just been a disappointing kind of commitment that we haven't seen to other markets and other teams in the past from the NHL. And it just something, you know, just doesn't, you know, you know, just doesn't seem right on with this in any way. But
it really thinks like I really think Vegas really shifted the way the NHL is done.
Yeah,
there the success of that franchise, I think, has just changed the way business is done in the NHL. Seattle had deep pockets, and they had an arena ready, like an arena plan ready for an NHL team, and they built it. And they've got an ambitious owner in Salt Lake. They've got an ambitious plan in Atlanta. Then the game has changed. I think Vegas made everyone think differently about expansion, but
they're really, you're right though. They're really, when you put it in that sense, they're really searching for that next Vegas success story. Right. And I don't know if they're going to necessarily be able to repeat that. But there's a good chance of it happening for sure in Salt Lake, you know, and Houston for sure. There's like the markets that they're targeting kind of make sense, but it boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Arizona.
All right. Let's put that to bed. But I mean, we have one more podcast to go likely before we call it a season. And by the time we shoot that podcast, Salt Lake might be for real NHL market. Very interesting. Okay. So in the next 6 days, looks like the West is set for the playoff pitcher. Maybe the Blues sneak in, but highly unlikely. But how about the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, so let's start with the West here just for a second, just to do a rundown here. Like you're right, you know, when we look at the Central, Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, Pacific, Vancouver, Edmonton, LA, and then the Preds, and then it looks like the Golden Knights as well, right? So the Blues, you know, they're what, at 89 points? It's going to be...
It's pretty tough for them to, and they've only got 3 games left. So they win all 3 games. That's 95 points. Vegas goes 2-2. They finish with 96 points.
But coming back to what you said, it's a lot different in the Eastern Conference, right? So the Atlantic, Boston, Florida, the Leafs. I really like that race that's heating up more and more between Boston and Florida. They're at 107 and 106 points respectively. So that's going to be an interesting finish, right? With the Panthers a bit on a streak, but in the Metropolitan, New York, Carolina, the Islanders have yet to clinch. But the wild card is going to be an interesting one, right? This is where the fun is. And Pittsburgh's at 86 points. Tampa Bay's in. Pittsburgh's at 86 points. Washington, 85. Detroit, 85. Philly, 85. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Pittsburgh to get that. I think the Islanders are in myself. I think that it's, you know, somebody's going to get in with 90 points. And the Islanders are pretty much there. I'm really hoping Pittsburgh takes that last spot. I just, of all the other teams that are vying for a playoff spot, Pittsburgh's the one that's pulling at my heartstrings right now. I you know, it's to see Crosby back in the playoffs, see Carlson back in the playoffs, and see what they can do. Who are you rooting for there?
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm the same. I'm looking at, you know, Crosby. You know, that's just going to be a good story, and I'm just kind of pulling up the schedule here a little bit just to see, you know, who's got who, right? And Philly's got the Devils on Saturday. You know, Pittsburgh's got it rough, right? Saturday's going to be a rough one. They've got Boston. So, and then Detroit's got Toronto. So this is an opportunity for Philly to kind of make some ground and jump over. Washington's got Tampa Bay, and we know how they've been playing. So it's going to be really interesting, obviously, if Pittsburgh's going to hang on, like it's these big games against teams like Boston that are going to matter and make the difference. So they've got kind of the cards stacked against them a little bit on Saturday when you look at the other teams. I think, you know, the way Crosby's been playing, we talked about that last week, and he's just on another level right now. And he's decided to really step it up at this particular time. They've got a good shot at least to try to win that game and keep in the race for the wild card.
Yeah, and I've been watching more Pittsburgh Penguins games in the last 10 days than I have Ottawa Senators. I don't even know when the Senators are playing or who they're playing anymore. I didn't know that they were in Tampa last night. They won in overtime, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I've lost interest, which is so dangerous when fans just lose interest and don't care. But that's where I think the majority of Sens fans are right now. They're just tired of things. But Pittsburgh has kind of rejuvenated my interest in watching the NHL. So
Well, it's when you got exciting players too, right? And like there's more story happening there. Obviously the Senators, it's been a challenge, right? You know, and it's you know, fans want something to cheer for, and they do. You're right. You know, it's sad when people kind of check out a little bit, but they're looking for that drama and everything else that comes with professional sports. So you're going to find it in Pittsburgh for sure.
Well, let's talk about another race here, and then we'll get on to Luke news and Luke stuff. But yeah, we've got Kucherov has kind of stepped it up a bit. He's got a 4-point lead on MacKinnon now. A couple of assists shy of 100 assists, which has only been done a couple of times in the NHL. And we could see Kucherov and McDavid do it in this season. McDavid is 10 behind. I don't think he's going to win the scoring race, and he's hurt right now. But do you think Kuch is a favorite to win the Hart Trophy now? Oh, you're muted now, Brent. I don't know why.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yeah. Right. You're just muted for a second. Yeah. So did you hear my question about?
Yeah, this is, you know, I've been the benefit of this, right? When Kuch has stepped it up like this and has the 4-point lead, I've been, you know, you may have read some messages I've been sending out in WhatsApp about Stamkos, but man, the Lightning are just crazy right now. I mean, yeah, Stamkos didn't get any points last night, but when Kuch is playing like this, you know, is he the favorite this week? Last week, we were saying, you know, McDavid is the way that he's playing, but now with the story that he's hurt, you know, I think Kuch is starting to open it, as you said, you know, in just a few minutes ago that he's opening that lead on MacKinnon. He has to be a bit of the favorite now, right? And it just seems like, you know, Tampa Bay is moving into the playoffs at a right pace and they're firing all cylinders. And this kind of is like their story, right? Every year in that sense, right? Usually in some cases, Kuch is off. They, you know, find a way of putting him on the IR and saving cap space. And then all of a sudden he's magically healed, but not this year.
Like Mark Stone.
Yeah, that's right. That not this year. This year, in fact, it's a little bit different. He's firing it all up. So I think he is one of the favorites right now, if not the favorite. And I think kind of McDavid's, he's going to be benched again. So, and he's out of that race.
All right. So listen, hard to believe that, you know, this is the last of our NHL news before the season is done. And then we'll kind of do a wrap up on that. In terms of Luke news, we've got the contenders coming up. So it's about winners and losers this week. So like we did last week and like we'll do next week, I think we combine those two. So let's hop over to who's hot and who's not, winners and losers. And then we will get the three other guys in.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get the boys in here, but before that, who's hot, who's not, you know, and let's start with the who's hot list. That these are the names this week. And boy, were the names. Bobrovsky, I'm almost at a loss for words at this, right? And I would have never have imagined this, me saying this in April. He's this year's top rated goaltender.
And yeah, he's ranked number one in the league. I can't believe it. You know, Demko had it for a bit, but he's been hurt, and Hellebuck had it for a bit. But yeah, your number one goalie this year, Sergei Bobrovsky.
And why is he on the who's hot list this week? This is incredible too.
Yeah, PR7, 31.93. And I think he may have put a nail in the coffin of Nick's chances with two shutouts this week, 966 goals against average. You know, just playing stellar hockey at the right time, and the Florida goalies are completely on fire. So
yeah,
Bobrovsky is your number one guy. Number two is your boy, Steven Stamkos. And you talked about him, 5 goals, 1 assist, 3 power play goals, 16 shots on goal, pretty tidy work in 3 games.
Yeah.
26.37 PR7.
Yeah. And just incredible. Like he's just been just playing on another level. His PRK overall has jumped as well over the past 10 games. Didn't get anything really last night at all, but when it comes to his level of play, it kind of matches what Tampa Bay is doing, and it's just they're just taking the lead from their leader, and he's unreal.
Kirill Kaprizov, yeah.
Kirill. This is crazy with the South Stars and Holdsey. You know, this is why Holdsey went after him early on, right? And this is why he's going to be one of his keepers. PR7 of 23.62. You know, he's a lot younger than Stamkos, but got some similar stats.
Yeah, 5 goals, assists, 3 power play goals, just like Stamkos, 1 game winner and 13 shots on goals. So, you know, South Stars was smart to grab him early as a keeper for next year.
Yeah, and I don't think the conversation's not, you know, around him at this particular time, especially in the Lube, because he's not on a playoff team, right? And it's going to be interesting heading into next year with Holdsey. This is going to be a foundation for him, and I think you're really going to see this kid light it up. It's going to be unreal.
Okay, let's go to who's not. And actually, we had 3 goalies here, but if goalies don't play, they get in minuses. So we have to pick and choose. You have to have a really bad week as a goalie. And boy, did Logan Thompson ever have a bad week for Heisenberg. A minus 16.31 PR7, 2 starts, got 0 wins, 10 goals against in those 2 wins, an 837 save percentage and a 5 goals against average for last week. So just a stinker of a week for Heisenberg's goalie Logan Thompson.
Yeah, something I don't think we've seen Logan on this Thompson on this list here at all, and I don't know if to be expected either. So not a good one for this week. But you know, we talked about Holdsey, we talked about, you know, his hockey intelligence, his fantasy hockey intelligence, in going out and getting Kaprizov. And you know, when we did the rundown on the who's hot, but you know, the next 2 who's not players this week belong to him as well.
Yeah. So Valeri Nichushkin and Bowen Byram, both on the who's not list, minus 566 for Valeri Nichushkin and minus 465 for Bowen Byram. Between the 2 players, 1 assist, minus 6 and 3 shots on goal between both of those players. So really tough week for those guys. Kaprizov made up for it on the other end, but these 2 guys had a terrible week.
Yeah. We had the boy. Can you just respond to Mike? And yep. I think this is Nichushkin's 2nd week in a row, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So when we think about, you know, when managers start thinking about keepers or potential strategies moving into next season and the draft at all, I think we all remember these types of pieces on where you know, and this is why this segment's so incredibly important, you know where players are falling on the who's not list, right? So now we got our phones are just on fire right now because people, you know, are chomping on the bit to get into the main topic, but they're going to have to wait a little bit before we invite them in.
What if we do this? But what if we actually invite them to hear winners and losers live? Because if you click over to that tab, I think they might be interested in hearing it.
Oh, I'm interested in them hearing this.
So let's do this.
You know, Angelo, some days I doubt you, and I will, you know, you've done an incredible amount of research for this show. And I'm just throwing up, and I got it all set here. You can send them. I just sent them the email. You can tell them that. And while you tell them that, sometimes I do doubt you. But I think you're right. I think it's really important at this point that we invite them in before the main topic. You know, we're throwing each other, ourselves a curveball here. Get them in for winners and losers because there's some incredibly important information here. So hold tight. Let's get them in.
I know. This is all right. Let's get into winners and losers. And we have some special guests to join us for winners and losers.
They're here.
Yep. So let's welcome, in order of standing, Zoltok. Robka's live from his wonderful palatial home. Yes. In 2nd place, Nick in a box. In former 3rd place, Mike and I was in the pool is joining us. So also welcome to the studio, guys. What do you think of the studio?
It looks good.
Yeah, we still have the Christmas lights up.
Yeah, Nick, you're just as eloquent as ever.
So here's what we're doing. We're going to run through winners and losers. Then we're going to do a little Q&A. Because I'm not a contender. There's no sense in me talking. So,
but you're going to moderate this.
I'm a moderator. Yeah. I'm like Steve Paikin. I'm the Steve Paikin of the pool today.
All right. Rebrand this as the agenda. Yeah. But before we're doing any of that stuff, any of that fun stuff, we still have to get through winners and losers. So, Angel, I'm going to let you start.
Yeah, well, we thought we'd invite you guys in because you are all part of the winners and losers circle this week. So we'll start with losers this week. And we'll start with in third place, our third biggest loser for the week was Gibby going -3. So any commentary on that, Brent?
Well, yeah, this is, I mean, this has been the story of Gibby's season. You know, he's been able to be on one side of the ledger each week. And unfortunately, here we go again. He's on, you know, found himself down 3. So he's sitting at 46 points. You know, obviously not where he wants to finish the year. And we're, you know, wrapping up very quickly. So it's going to be a new Gibby next year for sure. But unfortunately, he's our third biggest loser this week.
And then we had two guys tied for the biggest loser for the week. We're going to talk about one of them right now, and that's Cutlass Supremes and Gump. Rob, any commentary on Gump's season? He's on the losing side this week. He's had a few wins, a few losses, but not a great season, eh? Robka?
Why is Rob? Gump's team score so many goals?
I know.
Why does he score so many goals?
It's uncanny that... That's all his team does is score goals.
Yeah, I think he plays my team every night.
we'll get to you, Mike. Don't you worry. But like, this is Gump. I mean, again, you know. So if we remember week 20, Gump was down 5. He was the biggest loser of week 20. Rebounded to the biggest winner last week in week 21, but finds himself again. Any gains that he has made, he has lost those. With a drop of 6. So he's sitting not so pretty, but you know, still prettier than some at 65 points.
Okay. So let's skip up to our third biggest winner. There was a tie, but PMF, who's actually made a run, and he might be tied for fifth place right now, or he's in and around there.
Yeah.
With 91 points. So out of nowhere, he's had a tidy little run into the 90s now, which he's not going to win any money just like me, but for his ego, he's into the top 5 of the pool now, or tied for it. So
yeah, he's done this quietly in a sense, right? Yeah, a couple weeks ago, he was the third biggest loser, but he finds himself on the right side of things this week with a jump of 3, 91 points. Yep.
Okay, so tied for third biggest, in third with a +3 for the week is our pool leader, Robka. So you went +3 for the week, and you're up to 130.5 points. You've crossed that 130 threshold again, Robka.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
That makes things a little more comfortable.
You've had it's been interesting, right? Like you were kind of hovering around 127 for a while, then, you know, 126. And it seemed like Nick was going to catch you at one point recently, but you've crossed that magic line. Gives you a little bit more extra padding there moving into the final standings here. So you got to be feeling pretty good about that that gain of 3.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty solid in most of the categories of points, assists, etc. And you and Nick are fighting over goals, but I don't think anyone's going to catch me on the goal side of it. I'm pretty happy to kind of just let it sit there, and you guys can just take points. Strip as long as you keep balancing out the rest of the points, I'm happy.
Okay, well, our speaking of Nick, our second biggest winner for the week with a +4 is Nick. So, Nick, you know, we'll talk about the pool in general in a moment, but how are you feeling about going +4 this week?
Good. I feel like it's a little too late, though. I feel like this next week I'm just playing my lineup and hoping for a miracle.
Well, so you did have that.
You already packed it in.
Well, I haven't. I haven't packed it in, but it's not looking good.
I've packed it in professionally. I'm done.
Shutout last night. He passed me in shutouts last night, so that didn't help.
Yeah, you'll want to listen to the first part of this podcast. We kind of talked a little bit about that. So,
all right. So now, when you say you've packed it in, are you talking about the pool, or are you talking about your teaching profession? Because I packed it in last week. I'm done for the year.
We're did you? That's smart. Yeah. That's smart.
Yep, we're just watching TikTok now, and we're working on TikTok routines,
dances. Nick would actually have to start to something to actually start packing anything in. So that's just kind of where he's at. But listen, where do you want to go from here, Angelo? Because
all right, you know what? Let's just
do you want to just rip the Band-Aid right off?
No, well, you know what? I think it's the Band-Aid for everyone else. So you went plus 5.5.
Yeah.
After going plus 3, after going whatever. I don't care anymore.
5.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you. So you're up on like 25 points in the last 4 weeks. You are the biggest winner again. So do you just get it over with and just say what you need to say? We don't care. Yeah.
I think, well, you know what I'm going to say. This is just another case of me making a strong example of being the greatest manager in recent Luke history, right?
Let me stop you, Brent. Do you remember my threat from a couple weeks ago?
I do.
Okay. Well, proceed with caution because you know what's coming.
I know. I know you put out today too, like to let you know if anybody's wanting to retire from the Luke, that notice and forcible retirement is not in the Constitution. So, but I'm just going to say again, you know, we can talk all we want about Nick. Yeah, he's had an okay season. Robka, yeah, it's all right. It doesn't hold a candle to what I have done recently in the pool. In my run of late. So just saying.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there. So yeah, let's move to the biggest loser.
Sorry, Mike.
No swearing.
Yeah. No, swear away, Mike, if you want.
Oh yeah. I hope your finger's on the button.
So the biggest loser this week going minus 6.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my friend, that belongs to I was in the pool. So I mean, how's it go? Like, how are you doing, man? Like, not that good. Was not good, eh?
So, Mike, you earlier that when we were setting all this up and just saying, and Angelo texted out, you know, Brent will send a link and this and that. Your message, I was enjoying a nice cup of coffee in my office when this came through, I think, and it was, what was it? Be prepared for a live drop of 80% of my team or something like that. So, that I guess sums things up over the last couple of weeks, eh?
Yeah, pretty. I think that's a fair assessment. I am now making all my moves while I'm sitting on the toilet because it's just that's my season has gone down the shitter.
There you go. Beep. Better write that. Thank you, Mike. Let's all just start F bombing soon.
Yeah, that's 32 minutes, and this it is. It's a complete flashback of when we used to shoot at Springfield High, and I would have to call out the times because you of your potty mouth. So,
Mike, were you in the pool when I used to swear?
Oh yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. But the first time I did it and Brent put the bleep in, it was so loud it startled me. I was driving and it actually jumped a little bit while I was driving. Yeah.
So, I'm just going to switch this episode over to explicit. So, that's just easier to do than the other stuff. So.
Nice. Listen, that's winners and losers. Careless Whispers, Nick in a Box, Zoltok, PMF are our top three with PMF tying with Zoltok. And then, excuse me, that's classy. I was in the pool, biggest loser, Kylie Supremes tied with that. And then Gibby in third for our biggest losers. Now let's get into our main topic. So we've got our contenders. We've invited them to the pool. And we're just going to throw out some questions and just kind of get their perspective on the season.
Get some roundtable banter going.
That's right. As mentioned earlier, the only reason I'm here is to read the questions. There's not a whole lot I can add, except I can't wait for next year's draft where I'm going to perform, I think, really well.
Yeah. So moderator, I'm gonna get you to take it away here, but we got a series of questions for everybody. So you can decide the order on how you want these ask some of these a little bit more controversial than others in terms, and especially question 4. I'm not overly happy about that one, but we'll get there, I'm sure. Take it away.
You know what? I'm actually going to start where guys probably aren't thinking I'm going to start. I'm going to actually start thinking about next year, regardless of the standings. I'm curious, what is your keeper strategy for next year? Because you guys all went for the win.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, I was going to end with that, but I'm going to start with, you know, what's your keeper strategy? So Rob, could looking towards next year, what might you do?
Well, this year I had a little bit of a different strategy because usually I like to go in with a lot of draft cash, but yeah. This year I went in, I actually spent, I kept a Nylander and Hintz and actually kept a couple of good players, but paid for them. And that worked out. So I think I need to keep Panarin because even at 200, I think he's still, he'll still value well, comparable to what the rates next year will be. And then I ended up getting in my one trade with Aiden, I got Fox, who's not, he's pretty well priced at $77, and then goalie Bob, $40. I think that's pretty much what I'm going to go in with.
So you'll go in with more quality players and not as much cash. What about you, Nick? You're muted, by the way, Nick.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking about going in with one or none. Like when I look at the guys I have, I don't have very much. Stone's injured every year. I don't know, but he's cheap, so I'll probably keep him. I picked Byfield up just because he was probably a keeper. And aside from those two, I don't know if I'll keep anybody else. I feel like there's going to be deals to be had in the draft. So,
So you're kind of going to roll the dice a little bit moving into
I don't usually draft like Angelo does, so I'm pretty confident that I can come out of the draft pretty good.
I don't even take that as a shot. That's just like fact.
That's the truth.
Oh yeah, it's the truth. That's, I don't mind. But I'm the moderator. You can't take shots at the moderator. I can't take that. Mike, what are you thinking?
Max two keepers.
Really?
If I do, yeah.
Wow, Angela, this is the first year that we actually might have where managers are not like rostering a full load of keepers. Who are you thinking then, Mike?
If I keep anybody, it would be probably Skinner and maybe Kreider.
So, would you keep O'Reilly at all?
No. So, but I'm seriously thinking about going in with 1,000 and just going super aggressive.
Nice. And then Brent, it is a little bit scary because you're in your Carlsberg years here, right? Like you've had some nice keepers for a few years. Do you have nice keepers again next year?
I think so. I still have Robertson, right? And I really lucked out. Well, I'm on Reinhardt. So that's going to be another one of my keepers. And Sorokin, I'll keep him. I'm not sure who will be my fourth right now. Got a few options, but yeah, unlike the others, and I'm going to go in with a full set of keepers for sure. And Robertson and Reinhardt and Sorokin will be three of them.
All right, let's move on.
I'm just going to add this. Yeah. This rule was fully put in place to screw my dynasty.
It was
because of the young crop of cheap keepers that I have, and Blair, you can kiss my ass.
And 37 minutes, 54 seconds.
That's not a bad word.
That's acceptable.
Yeah. Just go explicit because I have a feeling that the temperature in Vancouver is just going to get hotter and hotter as we move on here.
Yeah.
We will be talking about one very important moment that we all know about shortly. But okay, let's you're all contenders. Tell me what's one thing that a key moment where you said, okay, I think I might be able to contend for money, be it a player, be it a trade, whatever it was. What was the moment where you're like, okay, I actually might be able to make a push for this thing? So Nick, what was it for you?
Well, I had a good start and then I think Mike caught me and then Mike was in first for a while and then Robka seemed to not come out of nowhere, but just the first few weeks and all of a sudden he went in first and he never left it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of the whole time I knew I had Pasternak and MacKinnon. So I was trying to figure out how long that I had to keep them so that I could get most of the points from them and then trade them for something that would help me out later.
Yeah. So, you did that well. I thought, I thought like in terms of managing that piece and you did some really smart, fantasy hockey trades with that. And you know, it's always a tough one trying to figure out where that sweet spot is, where you need to dump those key, you know, superstars off to get the other and focus on the other categories. I thought you did that well.
Yeah. What about, Robka, what about for you? What was a moment? You, by the way, if anyone's wondering, you've been leading since week 7.
Yeah, like he's run the whole year, so he can probably go back to week 7 for this question, or the answer to this question.
Yeah, well, I started out at the bottom, and then it was just a slow and steady rise. And you know how sometimes you go up a little bit, and you drop a little bit, and then you go up a little bit.
Doesn't Drake have a song like that or something? Yeah.
And then you just kind of get set either the bottom or in the middle. You're kind of in a wavelength. But I just kind of kept going straight up right to when I got to Mike and Nylander and Hintz and Roenick, like the defenseman from Vancouver. That was I picked him up on day one off waiver wire because I thought he was pretty good with Detroit the year before.
He was, yeah.
And he was quite, I mean, Vancouver was so hot right through the beginning of that season. And then, of course, with Demko and goalie Bob just like totally coming around, I started to get a little nervous. Like usually the wheels start to come off or you see a regression, but it just kept rising and I was getting the special teams points from Hintz. And then I just had to make a few moves just to shore some things up. And then, of course, then we had to get into some of the big trades to secure it.
Yeah, we'll talk about trades in a moment because you really you were the first out of the gate to go hard after trades, and it set a tone for some other trades. All right, so Mike, we know last couple of weeks have been a disaster, but you have been a contender for most of the year. Was it right off the bat where you were like, I actually had a really good draft? Like, when was the moment you were like, I might be able to money here?
Yeah, right away. I thought my keepers were strong, and I thought I had a good draft. Just needed to solidify some goaltending.
Like, just remember, like you were in first place for the first 6 weeks of the pool. Like you were, like by week 2, you're completely dominating everything. Right. So like you did have a really good draft and you set yourself up really nicely there.
Yeah. And offensively, I felt like I was miles ahead of everybody at one point, just goals and all the skater categories. It was just goaltending that was kind of keeping me from making that jump.
It's interesting when we look back, over the, like the winner, or, you know, our winners and losers and everything here. And we've only had two managers, sit at the top of this pool, this year and that, you know, and to Robka and you, Mike, and both of you have had, you know, really good seasons when it comes to it. And I think you're right, Mike, when it comes to your draft, that was a highlight of it. It showed the strength of your season, right?
Okay, let's go there, because I know what your answer is, Brent. So,
and I'm going to be diplomatic in this, honestly. Like, I was out of the race until that happened. And until that trade happened, I was, you know, I didn't think I was actually going to be in it, be in the picture. And then obviously, I was able to secure those players and make a bit of a run here. So, you know, it's been a challenging year for me, for sure. Just kind of out of that loop. And the conversation for the vast majority of the season has been Robka, Mike, and Nick. And that's where, you know, three quarters or more of the attention needs to be given to those guys because they've had excellent seasons.
So let's talk about the trade, because I do think that is the moment of the year, because it not only is changing the standings, you could potentially actually challenge. You are challenging Nick for second place right now. And if the season was a little bit longer, I think you might have even been able to push Robka, just because once you gain those categories and you kind of cement yourself in those categories, you don't go down. All you do is go up. And this is happening to you over the last few weeks. So my question is not about the trade, because we've talked about the trade a lot and we've taken some body shots to Mike on the trade. Mike made the trade because he needed goalies, right? He knew he needed goalies.
and let's situate that trade too. There's a couple of pieces here. He needed the goalies, but there was a bunch of goalie deals that had been done before that. So, you know, and I'm reading into it. We've got him here. We can ask that question. And I'm sure part of that is he needs to do something. And, that was the something that there wasn't a whole lot left to get, I think. So,
my question is not the validity of the trade. My question or the impact of the trade, because we all know it. My question is, when we all saw that trade go through as managers, we do have a mechanism in the pool called a veto that we've used in the past. And I think
on me.
Yeah, well, we've used it. It is something we've used before. Did the other 10 managers who weren't involved in that trade, did they not fulfill their duty as managers by saying, yeah, we got to veto this thing?
Well, that's their option though. I'm going to start off with Angelo. That's the option that they can actually decide that.
There's a weird noise happening. Do you guys hear that?
Yep.
Yeah, it's my mic. Here, yeah. Hang on.
Oh, it sounds like a dog drinking water. Yeah.
I think it's peanut butter. The dog's eating peanut butter.
Nick, what do you think? Should we have stepped up and vetoed that trade?
No, because I don't like I think Mike and I have had two trades vetoed in the past. So I'm never, no matter how bad or lopsided the trade is, never in favor of the veto.
I actually don't mind the veto. We've had it in the entire time we've done ESPN, maybe 10 vetoes, Robka. Most of them involved Rusty Trombone. But what do you think?
There's always a little politicking when it comes to vetoes and some background discussion on it. I thought a lot of the trades really on a regular season could have been veto worthy, just because they were so imbalanced on the keeper to, you know, elite ratio. But it just, the movement of players, the elite players up to the top four teams it seemed unstoppable, and no one seemed to be really putting up much of a fuss about it.
Well, you know what, that was said a few years ago. If you guys recall, Blair traded me McDavid and Kaprizov, and it involved term keepers, and that trade should have been vetoed, but he did that so that he would get whoever he got Hedman in order to be able to keep Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the whole term keeper thing really messed with the dynamic of trades as well. And we saw that this year because the trade you and I made, Robka, in January was very much tilted in your favor, but Kucherov is not a keeper. So that his overall value goes down versus a regular year where if you had kept him, I think that trade could have been vetoed.
Yeah, that would have been without the term rule coming to an end, that trade would have to be vetoed. Chelsea would have vetoed it.
I think so.
AI would have rooted through it and said no.
So Mike, when did you have remorse? How quickly after that trade went through?
While Brent and I were texting.
Yeah. The ink wasn't even dry on that contract. and I think he was actually, what am I doing? He had a Robbie Warr moment.
I honestly did not think Brent had enough runway to do anything.
Yeah.
And you I were felt so like far I ahead. Felt like I had to do something goaltending wise.
Yeah, and I was honest with you when I said, like, I actually did this deal to keep Angelo off me.
Was also put stars in my eye. That was very, I think that's what sealed the deal when you said that you just wanted to beat Angelo. So
yeah, which is true. And I didn't actually think I would catch you in that way. And then,
This was a bad idea jeans commercial. That's what
We should go back on Saturday Night Live and shoot that. What could go wrong?
McDavid and Matthews for Samsonov? Bad idea, jeans.
So
when will I be in Haiti again?
That was my favorite one from that commercial. So I was in Niagara Falls when that deal went through, and yeah. we were just settling into a hotel room because, as we've said before, we go to a Sabres game. Even though we're not Sabres fans, we head over to a Sabres game at March break. And when that deal went through, I completely ignored the fact that I was on a little mini holiday with my family and just started power texting Brent. And yeah. Brent, weren't you in Toronto with Amanda? Like the two of you were away?
Yeah, yeah. So I was texting. We were – where did we – oh, we were downtown with the kids, and then we were walking through Union Station, I forget, for something. And then not to catch a train, just a shortcut of some port. And then I had just stopped. I had stopped the whole family in the middle of Union Station to text Micah just to try to keep the conversation going. Amanda's like, oh, fine, just wait. Like, I'll just go to the washroom. When she came out, the deal was done. And I was like so happy. And you know, she was not so much because I actually didn't know where the kids were at that point. I think they, you know, Toronto's safe, right? So don't worry about it. And Union Station is one of the safest places to be. So that's what I thought at the very least. So we found the kids. Everything worked out. And I got McDavid and Matthew. So.
Found them in Sudbury?
Yeah, yeah.
In downtown Belleville.
That's right. It all worked out. Yeah. So anyways, that's how that went down. And it, you know, it'll be remembered for a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know what you said, but you need to start calling old people and asking them for money in whatever same format that you got that you'd made that trade with. You have a gift.
I fully blame this on PMF and him not answering text messages.
If you want to blame it, blame it on Angelo, because he's the one that gave me the idea, right? It didn't come from him, but I found out that he had tried something similar with you, Mike, and I'm just like, hey, I'm in Toronto with my family, so why not talk about, you know, try to get a deal done, right?
You know, Mike and I almost we contemplated doing the first ever lease agreement where I would lease him Demko.
Yeah,
I was going to lease him Demko for the rest of the year, which would have been terrible because Demko has been out for the last month. But yeah, we were talking about a lease agreement trade. Lease agreement.
That I would return him.
It's so I actually thought about trading Demko to Mike at one point in the season as well. For Matthews or I don't think he had McDavid yet, but even though we were top two at the time, I was like, it would have almost been a bit of a balancing, give you a little bit of goalie and give me a little bit more. I needed more goals pretty much all season, but I was thinking about it and then I couldn't do it.
Mm. Yeah. Nick, you were going to say something.
Well, I was just saying that it's so interesting that Mike was saying that he just wished that Marshall would respond to text messages or messages, because after that trade I made with him, like looking back on it now, I so wish Mike would have been able to trade and get some of those guys from him, because then I would still have those Carolina goalies.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And I wouldn't have Kyle Connor, who's gone completely cold all of a sudden. Like, they'd be on Mike's team now. And Mike would have never traded those guys to Brent for Samsonov, because he would have had Hellebuck.
I would have had Hellebuck.
Yeah. So I wonder.
Well, this is PMS' fault. This is what I'm taking away from this.
I think it is.
PMF.
Nick, I haven't looked closely enough at the standings, but would you be closer to Robka had you kept the Carolina goalies? I think you would be. Like, they've been doing nothing but getting shut out.
I think that those Carolina goalies are the reason that you've seen PMF gain so many points in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been stellar. Okay, let's go on to let's do this one. So, most surprising player on your roster, most disappointing player on your roster. So let's start with Robka. Who surprised you the most this year, and who let you down a bit?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, Panarin has been rock solid. He's putting points up in all the categories. But like a current player, I had some disappointments early on, but I did better this year not to hold on to players.
You shed them quickly. That was key for you.
Did you draft a disappointing player? Let's start with that one, maybe.
Well, on the draft, near the end of the draft, I picked up Zegras and I picked up Dawson Mercer just because that was all was there. But, you know, there was some potential there.
Yeah.
And South Stars wanted Zegras right away. I was trying to trade him immediately as soon as South Stars put up. But I was asking for a lot and he wasn't biting. But I really, for the draft, I just wanted to go I want to get two top 10 players or somewhere close to the top 10, because that's where I always miss out on drafts. And I got Pinero and Aho with my first two major picks. And, you know, you partner that with the with Hintz and Nylander, I just had a very solid forward core. I like a very consistent core from the start. So from
I had a similar
side. Yeah, it was just some of the, you know, the some of the chances, some of the risk stuff I took at the beginning. But again, I always used to hang on to those guys, but I've learned you need to cut bait usually fairly quick.
Yeah, I had a similar strategy to get two top 10 guys. So that's why I went after Connor Brown and Evander Kane in the draft. And it felt very good about that. So, Mike, what player that surprised you and somebody who disappointed you? I think I know the answer for you, but I'll be interested to hear what you say.
Surprise? I don't know. That's a tough one.
Did Jack Hughes surprise you? Because he came out gangbusters at the start.
Yeah, no, because he was the best keeper in the league. So I'm not surprised by that at all. So, no, I think there was just a lot more disappointment.
You've got to say Vanacek is your, because you kept him, right? Yep,
Vanacek was a massive disappointment, along with every other goalie that I made trades for. Chychrun was a disappointment.
We were going to do an Akira Schmid for Jacob Chychrun deal early in the season, because I knew you wanted Schmid so bad. And I was like, maybe I could get something. But then I thought maybe he could be the number one for New Jersey. But New Jersey was a disaster.
Exactly. Just everything, every goaltender I seem to touch is just awful. So I've had Vasi twice now. He's been terrible each time I've had him. I've had Bobrovsky twice. He was terrible in other years for me, and then he goes off the next year. Who else have I had? Vanacek was terrible. Who else? I had Logan Thompson for a little bit. He was awful. Just guys letting in 6-7 goals a night. It's been amazing. It's been amazing.
Nick, what about you? Good and bad on your team?
Disappointing has to be Georgiev. Like, from the day I traded for him, he wins games letting in 5 goals.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Doesn't help at all.
That took a little bit of twisting for me to do that deal. But yeah, I'm kind of glad I did.
But then my more surprising guy, like, because a lot of the guys I've had played as well as I thought they would, like the really good guys I had played really well. And then like some of the guys I traded for that were good played as good as well as I thought they would. But I think like I traded for was it Kempe I got in the same trade as Georgiev, Brent, from you?
Yep. Yeah, we packaged that.
Yeah, and I wanted him just because he always gets shorthanded points. But the last month, he's been my best player. So
he has a PRK of 9. Like he's a keeper.
Like he's got to be my most surprising, because I got him for specialty points, but he's been my best player for the last month.
Yeah, it's $55. So
what about you, Brent? Tage Thompson, your biggest disappointment? He did not have a good start.
No, he didn't. My biggest disappointment actually is in myself, because I dropped Noah Hanifin, right? Early on in the season. No patience with that, and that's a different player for sure. I'm going to go with I spent $56 on Pietrangelo. That hasn't been a smart one. But yeah, Tage Thompson, I that was a $10 keeper, so I can't keep that as a disappointment. So I'm going to go with Pietrangelo. Yeah.
All right, let's do a couple more here, guys, and then.
But my biggest one, I'm happy with. Oh, I'm gonna start. Sorry, to cut you off. My biggest happy is looking at Reinhart. So.
Oh yeah, that was a great steal. Yeah, that was a really, at the end of the draft, you and Mike got some really nice, steals. I thought Mike's draft was actually going just sort of mediocre, and then at the end, it was like, holy crap, what is Mike doing? Like, how is he getting all of these players? Insane.
You get Kreider, Kane. Yeah, Kane for $18. Kreider for $18. Barzal for $3. So yeah, he had a good end.
All right, a couple more questions here, guys, and we'll call her a night. So in terms of the non-contending teams, which team surprised you the most? So specifically, who did you think would do better this year? I'll start. I'm shocked that Doug's team is mired in 11th place. I thought he would have done better. I didn't necessarily think he was coming out of the draft with the best team, but I thought he had a better team than what he showed.
No. What do you think, Mike, on that? Who do you think?
Yeah, it sounds probably about right. To be honest, I didn't pay too much attention to what everybody else did. I just tend to focus on me and what I can control and not what goes on in the other, you know, the other manager's mind.
With the exception of PMF, who's in your head.
Who you're completely blaming for saying
you're off. Yeah, get your op, as the kids say.
I'm trying to find something that goes with PMF here. I know the MF part, so get your finger by the
button. I got it. Again. Yeah, 59 seconds. Yeah.
59 Nick, what about you? Was there anyone that surprised you this year?
Well, I'm surprised Gibby didn't. Like, Gibby always, even if he has a bad draft, he always plays the waiver wire so well that he's always kind of in the mix. So, yeah, I'm surprised Gibby's had as bad of a season as he has.
Was it that $436 he spent on Crosby? No, sorry, on McDavid, sorry?
On McDavid? Yeah, like, I guess the lesson to be learned is if you spend that much money on him, you got to just stick it out because – I don't think had he not traded him, he'd probably, you know what I mean? Like he'd be awards right now and not you, Brent.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, I you got to, you have to write it out if he's having a poor spell and.
On the other end, I honestly am surprised Brent is where he is. Like coming out of the draft, I didn't think he'd be anywhere near the money at the end of the season.
You didn't like my goalie strategy?
No.
That was an interesting one.
But honestly, having said that, I thought the same thing last year too when I thought you had everything on auto draft at the draft and you ended up winning. So
yeah.
I mean, we picked you and Robka as the two bottom teams. So what do we know? So Robka, which manager, which team surprised you that they didn't compete?
Gumpy's team is the weirdest team to see a team score that many goals. And when you look through his lineup, it's like, where is this getting generated from? You just got some really awesome picks, but when a team generates that much goals, you usually would see them up higher in the rankings, but it looks like he really kind of bottomed out on the goalie side of things is really what hurt him from being quite a bit higher up in the standings.
Okay, last question for us. We have about 6 days left in the season. What needs to happen for you to improve your spot in the standing or, in Robka's case, maintain that first spot? So let's start with you, Robka. What needs to happen for you to cruise to the win?
I think I'm looking pretty good right now. There's a big set of games tomorrow. I think after the games tomorrow, it'll probably settle out. I've got enough. Nick's got some games in hand, but I don't think, I mean, the last 3 days of the league, there's not many games. So after tomorrow, I think it'll probably just sit where it's at. And I think barring some sort of major catastrophe, I think I've got enough space. I got enough space, I think, to ride it out.
We have a seven and a half point lead. So there's no way that Nick is going to get 7.5 points this week. There will need to be a combination of you falling in a few categories and Nick rising. But Nick, what needs to happen for you to, I mean, you did it a few weeks ago. You sniffed first for, a couple of days back and forth. So what needs to happen for this to get you to your first ever Keith Primo Cup?
Yeah, like I said, it has to be a miracle. Like I have four goalie games left. I think I need four wins and two of them to be shutouts basically. And I need probably three shorthanded points because I think I can really only make up gains in like maybe game winning goals, power play points. And that's maybe it. And then goals, like if my guys score goals, but like assists and points is like I'm set where I'm at. I'm not going to catch Robka, and I don't think whoever's behind me is going to catch me. So there's no movement there. Like it's really on those specialty categories that you're just praying somebody randomly gets them.
And Nick, talk about briefly, like, you know, what we were chatting about the other day about, you know, the opportunity this year based on schedule to double up.
Oh, yeah. Like it's difficult. Like I was looking to see when I could max my guys out so that I get that extra game played either from forwards or defensemen. And
It looks like Tuesday night is when I'm going to try and max out and get that extra like game played at the forward positions. And at defense, like, I'll probably end up just picking up four guys on the last night. That
we're all going to be racing
play on the power play to max out my defensemen.
Yeah, it's just the way the schedule is, eh?
Yeah, because after Tuesday, everybody just plays like there's just games here and there.
And even all the good guys are going to be sitting anyways. All right, Brent. So what about you? You are now within sight of second. What needs to happen for you?
Oh, I think McDavid actually needs to be playing, which is not going to happen. So, to be honest with you, I think barring a miracle, like I'm not going to be, I won't jump over at all. So, maybe I'm looking at another run with Stamkos here, but you know, I don't think I'm going to have the same jumps as I've seen.
All right, Mike, what about you? So you're now, let's see, you are 10 and a half points out. Can you claw your way back into third, do you think?
I have two strategies here. So
strategy number one is
just to stream a goalie every night. I just need a string of shutouts every day for the rest of the pool.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I'm banking on that. Second one, for all the listeners out there, if there are any in China or Russia who are fans of I Was in the Pool, if they feel like hacking into ESPN and changing Robka's roster with mine, that would work.
Just change the names.
Let's just change the names at the end of the year. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into my league and just put a rant South Stars. And he's
you
gonna
can add up. A second manager. Add a second manager to your team.
Could you imagine if someone woke up the next day? South Stars just wakes up and says, what? I won the pool? How did that happen? How did Robka finish eighth?
For our listeners in China and Russia who have sometimes some good computer skills.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So that does it, boys. So we've got 6 days left. This, you know what? This has been the most social I've been since September 2023. Excellent. On a Friday night. So actually nice talking to humans. So Kelly says that I do spend too much time on the pool. I don't agree with her. I did just get a text from my 16-year-old son that he's at a pool hall downtown. Haven't responded yet. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, it's all right.
Is that Family World?
It's called Mr. Zed's. Brent, where is that Mr. Zed's right now?
Oh, yeah, good luck with that.
So, yeah.
Nothing to worry about. Yeah, you're fine. So listen, everyone, that's episode 109. Angelo, next week is the victory lap, I guess, right?
That's it. Yeah, we're going to wrap the season up.
Crazy.
I am dropping my team on Tuesday.
Mass rage drop on Tuesday. Totally. And Nick will pick them all up, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we need to get everyone needs to get their preliminary keepers in. If you have prelim keepers, if you don't, let me know if you're going in with fewer than so I can get that out next week and then get your $40 in too. So
Forward that on to
Robka. Yeah. Yep. You could just actually email it directly to him because he's, you know.
Oh wait, Brian, we didn't do a shout out to Columbia House, our new presenting sponsor. So Columbia House, who is now offering CDs in addition to cassette tapes. So I actually got Boston's Greatest Hits in the mail this week. It's really a really nice cassette tape.
Yeah, I ordered some to be delivered to Nick's house along with a couple of Bowflexes as well. So yeah.
Excellent. All right, boys, thanks for joining us and welcome again to the studio.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Later. All right. See ya.